From Philippians chapter 2, verse number 15, the Bible says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. The context of the passage is that it's written to a local church. Oh, that's us. That's this church. Church at Philippi 2,000 years ago. Bible's written to them, and then God takes those timeless truths, preserves them for us, amen, so that we have them today to apply to where we're living in today's world. And guess what? It's all relevant.
Amen.
It's not old. It's not out of date. As we read and study the Word of God, as we preach the Word of God tonight, it's not something that, well, you know, it was way back then, but things have kind of changed over 2,000 years. Well, people haven't changed.
Amen.
People have the same struggles they had 2,000 years ago. They have the same sin nature that they had 2,000 years ago. They have the same troubles and problems that they had 2,000 years ago. And the Bible was written to address people. He's giving the church instruction here on being obedient. If you go up into the preceding verses and understand the context, he's talking about them obeying the Lord. Listen, as a believer, cardinal rule number one, focus number one in your life, glorify God through obeying Him.
Amen.
Be an obedient believer.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about here. He goes on, he talks about that word blameless and harmless. And in my study of those words, I found another word that's connected to the word blameless. I want you to see it in a couple passages of Scripture. If you turn over to your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, and verse number 4, the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Holy and without blame before Him in love. When he writes to the church at Thessalonica, he writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 22, and he says this. He says, to the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness.
Amen.
In holiness. In verse number 23, and the very God of peace sanctify, that's the verb form of making somebody holy, you holy, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. There's a connection in at least three other passages of Scripture of this connection between blameless and holiness. And so tonight, I want to speak to you tonight, church, on this thought, perfecting holiness.
Amen.
Perfecting holiness. I would argue the other word in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 15, is the word light. And I would argue tonight that same word light is connected to the concept of holiness. We learn something about God in 1 John where it says, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. In other words, one of the things that makes God holy, one of the things that makes Him distinct, one of the things that makes Him above all of mankind throughout history is that He's completely light and in Him is no darkness, not a speck of darkness at all. And on the other side of things, we know that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And so we understand that the word light is connected to God's holiness. He's distinct from all else. He's above all else. He's pure above all else. And the word blameless is connected to the word holiness. Now, we believe in a doctrine called positional sanctification. That means that when you are saved, at the moment that you are saved, you are positionally sanctified. You are set apart unto God for a particular purpose. You're set apart as a child of God. Remember before you got saved? You were an enemy of God. But when you get saved, you're sanctified.
Praise the Lord.
You're made a son, a child of God, and you are set apart for His purpose. Does God only do that to moral people, preacher? No. Are there people in the area of Wilmington that could never come to Christ? No. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9, the Bible talks about extortioners. The Bible talks about homosexuals in that passage. And it says, such were some of you, but you're washed.
Praise
but you're
Lord.
Sanctified
Amen.
In the Spirit of our God. You are set apart. When you got saved, you were set apart. Christians tonight, listen to me. Sometimes we think too little of God's saving grace.
Amen. Right.
We can look at somebody on the street. Oh, they have no hope of becoming a Christian. Oh, they'd never be interested in a gospel witness. Do you understand tonight that those are some of the easiest people to lead to Christ?
Amen.
You don't have to convince them they're lost.
Right.
You don't have to convince them that they're a sinner.
Right.
You don't have to convince them of immorality, being wrong. You understand that God saves those people.
Praise the Lord.
He saves anyone
Hallelujah.
That will come to Him in faith. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall
Amen.
Be saved. But to establish the foundation of holiness tonight, and it is important that we are holy so that we can shine.
Amen.
I think there's a shift in churches today. There are some churches that emphasize holiness at the expense of evangelism.
Right.
But there are some churches that emphasize evangelism at the expense of holiness.
Right.
I believe that Philippians chapter 2 speaks of both.
Amen.
He says, be without blame. He says, Amen. To be blameless. He says, at the same time, you're to be shining as lights.
Yeah.
And we need a balance in our churches today of people that are holy and at the same time, people that are fervent for lost
Amen.
Souls.
Amen.
We don't need to leave either one behind. And tonight I want to deal with the side of holiness. Turn over in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Do you know in the grand scheme of God's plan that Christ would be fitting together believers in Bible-believing local churches like this, according to Ephesians chapter 2, as holy temples unto Him.
Amen.
Here's what the Bible says. It says in verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone,
Amen.
In whom all the building, not talking about this tonight, talking about this tonight.
Amen.
In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Now, as I meditated on this verse, I thought, how do we grow into a holy temple? Does it mean we get a higher steeple on our building? No. It means that each one of us grow in holiness with the Lord and through Christ, in whom
Amen.
All the building is fitly framed together
Amen.
To grow in holiness. That tells me something. That tells me that all of us ought to have a focus of holiness.
Right.
That my holiness is important to your holiness in our church and us growing together in holiness. Claire's over here, and Claire's been in Bible college. Is that correct, Claire? How many years did you go? She went 5 years. In that 5-year program, she probably had a list of classes, and there are required classes. All right? How many of you have been in any educational program that there's required classes? You know what I'm talking about. And then there's this other side of classes called electives. Right?
Right.
Elective classes. Oh, I like electives. You know why? I get to choose. I like to choose. And so there's a whole bunch of required classes, and then there's an elective class. Kids, you'd love that if they gave you math, social study, and English, or history and English, and then for the rest of the day, Mom said, it's your elective. You get to do whatever you want. Doesn't work that way, I know, but electives are nice. Can I give you a spiritual concept tonight? In your spiritual life, holiness is not an elective.
Amen.
Holiness is actually a major.
Amen.
It is a major. The Bible says in 1 Peter, be holy as I am holy. The foundation for holiness is the fact that God is holy. If we're going to be like God, then we're going to have to learn what holiness is and be holy.
Amen.
It means to be separate. It means to be distinct. It means to be set apart. And here the Bible says the whole God's whole plan is that He would bring together a body of believers and that they would grow together as a holy temple unto Him. And when that happens, I want you to know God gets a great big smile on
Praise
His face.
The Lord.
Man, you are thrilling my heart.
Amen.
You ever dealt with been in an uncomfortable situation? I have a few times. One of those times is a dentist chair. Every time I go to the dentist, I'm uncomfortable. Any kids, you say, Preacher, I've not been to the dentist yet. Oh, good. Keep it that way, okay? No, I'm kidding. I go to the dentist, I sit in the office, they call me back, they put me in this chair, bright lights. Dentist assistant comes in, begins by saying, I'm just going to do some checking in your mouth, if you can open wide. About that time, I'm starting to get uncomfortable. And she takes these little tools off the little desk there, and they're pointy. And I got my mouth open, and she starts, this person I've never met in my life before, I'm giving her permission to go inside my mouth. And she's trying to distract me in conversation. Ever been there? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. And she's trying to distract, and she's asking me questions. I hear your question, and I can honk. Could you suck the water out of my mouth? And this is going on. And she spends about 30 minutes cleaning in there. And she's pricking every once in a while. It hits a nerve. You ever had a nerve hit? You want to jump out of the chair, right? And then she says, well, the dentist will be in shortly. And he says, hey, we took some x-rays and we found a cavity that we're going to address today. And so I'm just going to give you a little shot here. It's not going to hurt too much. They always lie. They always lie. And they give you a shot and you about jump out of the chair. And then he goes, I'm going to go in and just fill that in. And this drill, he gets this drill out, and you're like, hopefully nobody's going to the dentist tomorrow. But you're uncomfortable. A lot of times when we get to the topic of holiness, people get uncomfortable. Shouldn't happen for believers.
Amen.
Be ye holy, for I am holy. God is holy. That's the foundation for why we ought to be holy. May I say this? True holiness is only available to a believer.
Amen.
Just laying some foundations for holiness tonight. True holiness is only available to the believer, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, this person tells me, you know, I've tried to live my life in a decent manner. I've not done anything real bad. Don't you think that God will accept me? No, you're not holy. I'm sorry. All your righteousnesses are filthy rags.
Amen.
The only way you can come holy is coming through the precious blood of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
That washes all your sins away. And at that point,
Absolutely.
God makes you holy.
Amen.
He sanctifies you. That's not available to the world, my friend.
Right.
True holiness is only available to the believer according
Amen.
To the Scriptures. We, as believers, are called to be holy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness is part of a process whereby God makes us more like Christ.
Amen.
And that means different from the world in all manner of life.
Amen.
Or all manners of life. It's about a year ago that the Lord began to work on one area of my life that needed to change. It's going to be a weird area to you, but it was a specific area to me. The area was what I did when I first woke up. And I had somebody give me a suggestion, and the Holy Spirit took that and He made this holy application. What you do when you first wake up ought to be different than what somebody else does that's not a believer when they first wake up.
Amen.
Well, Lord, I've got to take a shower. I mean, that's a good thing to do, isn't it? And Lord, I got to eat breakfast. And Lord, I do have my devotions. And a year ago, the Lord impressed upon my heart to begin, before I take one step out of bed, first thing on my mind is to praise Him.
Praise the Lord.
Second thing in my prayer time before I get out of my bed is to pray for every family member. Immediate family member, every family member on my wife's side, every family member on my side. You say, preacher, aren't you getting a little edgy here? Wait, it says be holy in all Amen. Manner of conversation.
Amen.
In every manner.
Amen.
Years ago, me and my wife had come out of college. We had a couple small children. And we had a sprinkler in our yard for the kids during hot days. And my daughters put on a little bathing suit and went out and enjoyed the little pool out back. And it wasn't a public area. It wasn't a bunch of people around or anything. And the Spirit of God smote my heart about that and said, if you're to be modest, if modesty is an important thing
Amen.
To me, God, isn't it important all the time?
Right.
I remember talking with my wife and saying, hon, I don't know how to approach this, but I don't think we're doing this right.
Amen.
And we decided that they would swim in what they wear before others all the time. Because aren't God's eyes on them all the time?
Amen.
And if God's eyes are on them all the time, don't we want to be pleasing in the eyes of God all the time?
Amen.
And what in the world put on something that reveals parts of the body that we as Christians should live different?
Amen.
Because God is holy.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm to be different and our families to be different and I'm to lead in that.
Amen.
And I remember making that call, and I remember God dealing with me about that. And all I'm saying tonight is this. God is interested in us being different in a way that pleases Him in all manners of life. I'm just giving you a couple Amen. Of illustrations where God has dealt with me about in some specific and what others may think are really small things. It is the believer's responsibility. It is your responsibility to pursue holiness.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Can I give you the picture of that word pursuit? It's like running to cross the finish line first in the 100-meter dash. That's the intensity
Amen.
By which we are to pursue holiness.
Amen.
Pursue it. Follow after it. Man, get your eyes set on that. God, just clear my life up. Lord, make my life look like Jesus.
Amen.
And so the meaning of holiness in the Scriptures is to be pure, to be clean. It means to be separate. It means to be consecrated. And having laid all that foundation tonight in the closing minutes that we have, I want to give you four or five principles on how you can learn to grow in holiness.
Amen.
Brother Knickerbocker, in preparation for the meeting, communicated to me, said, preacher, I don't know what the next level is for our church, but I'd like our church to go to the next level.
Amen.
And I think that's the burden of every preacher.
Amen.
Every true pastor wants to see the body grow corporately. He wants to see individual believers grow in their faith and grow in their knowledge of the Word of God,
Amen.
But grow as believers to become more like Christ.
Right.
Say, preacher, when it comes to holiness, what are the principles that I should be looking at as far as me growing in personal holiness? I'm glad you asked. Principle number one is the principle of purification. It is the principle of purification. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. The Bible says here, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now that word perfecting, the only two times I can find it in my King James Bible is in Ephesians chapter 4, where God gave prophets, pastors, evangelists, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing, for the growing, for the development of the saints. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, where it's talking about the maturing or the development of holiness in our lives. And Paul's writing to dearly beloved. He is not writing because he's mad at the church at Corinth, though the church at Corinth has a ton of problems, ton of things that are unholy. He writes to them in chapter 7 here, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let me make an appeal to you. Let me introduce a principle to you that's going to perfect, that is going to develop holiness in your life.
Amen.
What is it? That we would cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Now folks, in independent Baptist churches today, we tend to place sins of the flesh as filthy, bad, dirty, gross, vile sins. I'm talking about adultery. I'm talking about fornication. I'm talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about transgender. I'm talking about all the things that we would not discuss in mixed company. We certainly wouldn't discuss the specifics. Sins of the flesh. I'm talking about drinking and drunkenness. We tend to categorize them as big sins. And we tend to categorize sins of the spirit. I'm talking about anger, jealousy, envy, wrath, malice, bitterness, as, oh, those aren't so bad. Because people may not see those, they're not so bad. Now, I want you to know, if you're going to be about perfecting holiness in your life, you're going to be about getting those both cleaned up and seeing them on the same level.
Amen.
Because Paul said, if you're going to perfect holiness, you must make a choice to cleanse yourself, not somebody else. You can't clean somebody else up. But you can go before God and agree with God that my bitterness, that my anger, that my envy, that my malice, my yearning for somebody to be hurt because of what they've done, that, Lord, those are wickedness before you, and agree. And that's what confession is.
Amen.
The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I say this tonight? Can I say this tonight? If you have something that needs to be cleansed,
amen,
and you get it clean tonight, you have grown in holiness.
Praise the Lord.
If you walk out the back door of the church tonight and you leave with something that you're not willing to agree with God about as sin, and you're not willing to relinquish, can I say something very clear tonight and honest? You have not grown in holiness.
Amen.
You've actually gone backwards spiritually.
Right.
That's why every time you come to church and every time you put yourself under the Word of God in your personal devotional life, that's why every time that you're listening to the Spirit of God and He prompts you about something, it is vital that your heart is tender to agree with God and be cleansed. Because when we're cleansed, we perfect holiness.
Amen.
Do you see that in the Scriptures? The principle of purification. Can I ask you tonight, how precious being clean before God is to you?
Amen.
There's an animal in the Arctic called the ermine. The ermine's a little white animal, about the size of a raccoon, maybe a little bit smaller, probably not as broad. It lives up there, and they have found that the ermine is known for his snow-white fur. And he loves it. And they hunt the ermine because of the white fur. They want the fur. And so what they've learned to do with the ermine is the ermine will be found And they'll send dogs after the ermine. And like a rabbit, when you're hunting a rabbit and the dog goes after the rabbit eventually comes back to that place where he began. Same thing happens with the ermine. And so before they go and run the dogs after the ermine, they find out where the ermine's little den is. And they put mud and filth all around the entrance of that den. That dog runs that ermine. Runs that ermine all over the place until that ermine's exhausted. That dog, that ermine's getting ready to come back into its den. But that ermine can't stand to have its coat dirty. And so that ermine will not go back in its den, the place of protection. Why? Get this. Because purity is more precious than life. Now the question tonight, Christian, is this. How important is purity before God and cleanliness before God to you?
That's good.
Can I ask you this? Is it important enough every day for you to take time with God to say, God, would you search me?
Amen.
And would you try me?
Amen.
And would you see if there's any wicked way in me? Boy, we find that in Psalm 139. Boy, you wonder why David was a man after God's own heart. I'll tell you why. Purity was precious. Do you have that habit in your life?
Good.
We're talking about growth. We're talking about perfecting holiness.
Amen.
The way that you perfect holiness
Amen.
Is you live by the principle of purification. And the principle of purification is this. Lord, if I got a sin of the flesh in my life, if I've got a sin of the spirit in my life, Lord, would you cleanse me of that?
Amen.
Would you cleanse me of that? Could I ask you specifically tonight? Do you have one of those present even in your life tonight that you have yet to agree with God about as sin?
Amen.
If you have not agreed with God about it and verbally talked to the Lord about it, then my friend, you are not clean.
Amen.
But you can be clean.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God for that.
Good.
It's confession away. That's it. It's just a confession away.
Amen.
An honest confession away. Wherewithal shall a young man take cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. There's a second principle tonight, the principle of proving. The principle of proving. Or you can write out to the side testing, or you can write out to the side the principle of evaluation. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Given to the believer, given to a church, Church of Thessalonica, is this command. You're to be about the business of testing things all the time.
Amen.
When Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, he said, here's my prayer, that ye would approve, or that you would attest, or that you would evaluate things that are excellent, things that are holy.
Amen.
We're to be about testing. I've been teaching our people at Mount Zion Baptist Church this concept. Worldliness is adapting without thinking.
Right.
Here comes the cell phone. Here comes the smartphone. Well, this is what everybody else does with it. I guess this is what I'm going to do with it. These are the movies that other people watch. These are the latest to hit the movie theaters. I guess I'll do that too. No, worldliness is adapting without
Amen.
Thinking. We're to be about testing.
Amen.
We're to test things by the character of God.
Amen.
By our knowledge of God. Would God want me to participate in that activity?
Right.
Would God want me to use that kind of language?
Amen.
Would God want me to have that kind of an appearance? Would God want me to be with that crowd?
Right.
Would God want me to go to that place? Would God want me to use my time that way? What would God want in this situation? And what would be best, or what would bring the most glory to Him?
Amen.
Part of perfecting holiness in our lives is learning the principle of proving. Dear Christian, can I help you? There are many Christians that are adapting without thinking.
Right.
And when we adapt without thinking, you know what? We move a little bit closer and a little bit more like the world.
Right, exactly.
Lord, would you be pleased with that music?
Amen.
On the station that I like. Are there principles that affect that?
Right.
Is that causing me to think on the on Christ?
Amen.
And God? Is it causing the Word of Christ to dwell in me?
Amen.
Richly? You see, we prove things by the principles of the Bible.
Amen.
And so if I'm going to be somebody that is developing the principle of proving in my life, I have to be somebody that's spending some time learning what the Bible says.
Amen.
Otherwise, I've got nothing to test it by.
Amen.
But I test it by the inerrant words that God has written.
Hallelujah.
The principle of proving. Important principle. Your life is to be filled with the fruits of right living and righteousness and truth and goodness. And then Paul says in Ephesians 5, summarizing all that, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord.
Amen.
You want to perfect holiness. Number one, you practice the principle of purification. Number two, you practice the principle of proving. Number three, you practice the principle of putting off and putting on.
Amen.
You can put down the principle of replacement. Turn over your Bibles. I'm almost finished. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 22. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22. You say, preacher, how can I grow in holiness? Purification. How can I grow in holiness? Proving. How can I grow in holiness, preacher? By learning to put off the old man with its deeds and putting on the new man. Now here's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Can I just tell you, the old man's corrupt? The old thinking's corrupt. The old priorities are corrupt.
Amen.
The old lusts are corrupt.
Right.
But the Bible says here, my, if we'll learn something and be renewed by the truth of Scripture and we'll make a decision to say, I'm getting that out of my life and I'm bringing this into my life. Hey, guess what? There's true holiness in all
Amen.
Of that.
Praise the Lord.
That's how we develop holiness.
Amen.
We put off and we put on. In Romans 13, cast off the works of darkness. Let us take on the armor of light. This principle is throughout our New Testament. To put aside, to throw, to forsake, to separate from. Holiness requires that decision. You can't grow in holiness and live like you lived before you were saved.
Right.
Don Meckley is his name. He's a 63-year-old man. He's a man that we met out knocking doors. Don was a moral, pretty moral man. Had some language, liked to drink, but otherwise, pretty moral man. Very difficult to convince Don that he needed Jesus, that indeed he was a sinner. But finally, Don came to that truth and said, I am a sinner, I do need Jesus.
Amen.
Don came to Christ at his door one day. Wonderful, wonderful day. It's about 3 months down the road. I'm in my office one day. Secretary buzzes me and says, Don Meckley's on the phone. I said, okay, patching through. Don calls in. Hey, Pastor! Kind of Coke bottle glasses. Just a genuine who he is guy. Pastor, I got a question for you. Is drinking wrong? I said, well, Don, I said, I could share with you my opinion. But I said, that wouldn't do you any good.
Amen.
I said, I can take you to the Bible on some verses, though.
Praise the Lord.
I said, let's go to Proverbs chapter 20. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever deceived thereby is not wise.
Right.
Addresses the substance and not the frequency. The substance itself is foolish.
Amen.
Let's go to 1 Peter and talk about where it talks about drunkenness in the same passage, but it also talks about banqueting. He said, Pastor, is social drinking wrong? Well, I said, if you look at that word banqueting, it's different than drunkenness.
Right.
And it's in the same verse, which God's dealing with both.
Amen.
Don says, thanks, Pastor, that's all I needed. I said, Don, why'd you ask that question? He says, I got beer in my refrigerator. I said, oh. He says, there'll be no more beer in my refrigerator today.
Lord, amen.
He says, I'm taking out my refrigerator, I'm dumping it down the drain.
Amen.
Don did. Don, to my knowledge, never drank again.
Praise the Lord.
You know what Don was doing? Don was putting off. Thank God he put off. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. It's important. There are some Christians that try to grow in holiness but stop at putting off. The Bible also says put on. It wasn't too much later that Don called me again and said, Pastor, got another question for you. Is there anything I can do at church?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Yeah, Don. We put together Bibles. Pastor, that sounds really exciting. When is that?
Amen.
Oh, that's Monday nights at 6:30, Don. You know what Don started doing? Coming Monday nights to Bible Assembly.
Praise the Lord.
He found out Bible Assembly meets on Wednesday mornings. He started coming Wednesday mornings. What did Don do?
Amen.
Don put something off.
Praise the Lord.
And he also put something on.
Amen.
That is how true holiness occurs.
Amen.
The principle of put on, put off.
Amen.
Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 8. If we're going to grow in holiness, we have to practice these principles, my friend.
Amen.
Holiness is not something that's way out there that I can't understand. Oh no, God made it simple. He gave us practical principles to apply. Here he gives another, or he emphasizes and brings on, gives us more detail to this put off. Look at verse number 8 of Colossians chapter 3. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. There's the put off and there's specifics.
Amen.
Boy, I like to speak in generalities. If I speak in generalities, I don't step on anybody's toes. But did you know the Spirit of God speaks in specifics?
Right.
Later in that passage, put on bowels of mercy. Put on kindness.
Amen.
Long-suffering. Forbearance. Putting up with others at times.
Right.
Right? You know what? If as mates, I'm talking husbands and wives now, if as mates, we would be aware of the fact that we have an anger problem, or we have a bitterness problem, or we have a evil speakings problem about our mates, and in the midst of conflicts in our marriages, and we would get in the habit of putting that off and saying, whoa, I'm not going that direction this time.
Amen.
In this conflict. Instead, I'm going to put on
right.
some patience and some kindness. And I'm going to put on some forbearance. I may have to
right.
put up with my loved one today. But Jesus sure puts up with me every day.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, do you think that could bring a holy flavor to our home?
Amen.
A different flavor? Could I say it this way? A sweeter flavor?
Amen.
To our homes?
Praise the Lord.
If we would just learn the principle and practice it of putting off in order to put on.
Amen.
Last principle I'll give you tonight, the principle of presentation. The principle of presentation. Turn to Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves a
living sacrifice.
Living sacrifice.
Amen.
What kind of action is that? It's a holy action.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, sacrifices took place. It was quite a holy act, wasn't it?
Right.
In fact, in order to go in and offer the sacrifice in the Holy of Holies, you couldn't be anybody. You had to be the high priest, didn't you?
Right.
The holy place. Ha! But Jesus rent the veil.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's not just reserved for the high priest.
Right. Amen.
You know who can go in and offer sacrifices in the Holy of Holies? You as a believer.
Praise the Lord.
Me as a believer.
Amen.
Now, what is the number one sacrifice that you and I ought to offer as a holy sacrifice
Amen.
Unto the Lord? me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Now, let me tie it all together by saying this. It's hard to get to the last principle
right
without practicing the first three.
Amen.
I'm not going to want to sacrifice my life to the Lord if I'm not clean.
Right.
If I'm not practicing the principle of purification, I'm not in a yielded place before the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not going to be interested in presenting my body to the Lord if I'm not putting off some things in my life.
Right.
Can you imagine me as a young person outside the bounds of marriage living with somebody and at the same living with somebody outside the bounds of marriage, fornication, and at the same time presenting my body to the Lord?
Right.
No, not going to work.
Amen.
No, put off, principle put off, put on, has to be in place in order for me to get to what I believe is the ultimate act and growth of holiness.
Amen.
Where I present me to the Lord. The songwriter wrote it this way: take my life and let it be.
Amen.
Folks, that's not just a song to be sung
right
once in a while at an invitation. That's a prayer to be prayed before the Lord.
Amen.
On a daily basis.
Praise the Lord.
Lord, use me.
Amen.
Lord, my ears. Lord, my mind today. My eyes today. My hands today, Lord. My feet today. Lord, I'm presenting all of me to you. Now, Christian, can I ask you this question tonight as we close the message? When was the last time that you presented yourself to God?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
And may I say this, if it's any other time than today, it's too long.
Amen.
It's too long. God wants to have all of us.
Amen.
Every day.
Praise the Lord.
You say, preacher, you mean God's interested in perfecting holiness in me? Yes, He is.
Praise the Lord.
He's interested in you.
Amen.
You are a testimony. You are somebody that He can use in a powerful way. But your holiness is important
Amen.
To the Lord.